To say thank you. I really do feel blessed here today. You've really made me feel at home. I've been excited, you know, hearing people praise and worship God. It's great. And hearing somebody read God's word and, you know, come into those words that are not the easiest ones to pronounce, are they? They're words that were written down thousands of years ago. And I love it because I was at theological college and you stand up and you read a passage of scripture like that and you say it and someone comes up to you after you and they say, you know that's not how you pronounce it, don't you? And I always turn around and say, well, if you can tell me how they pronounced it 3,000 years ago, then I'll pronounce it that way. I had an old pastor, well, he wasn't that old, but I had a pastor friend of mine who always said, if you come to a word that you don't know how to pronounce, just say wheelbarrows. Nobody will notice any of the difference. You know, so that, you know, when we have those words, let's not be afraid of it. All right. Now, it's good to be here. I mean, this is only the second time I've ever been here. The last time was about 8 or 9 years ago, and it's great to be able to come back. You can't always say that about some places, you know. I can remember over 40 years ago, my wife and I, Chris, who's with me now, we went for our wedding anniversary to a restaurant not a million miles away from here. I'm not going to say what the name of it was, but it was rather a posh restaurant. And we went there. And in those days, you know, we had the meal and we had a nice glass of wine with it. But in those days, you had a wine waiter who was separate. So you would pay for your meal and everything else. And then we gave a little tip for the waiter who'd served the food, and that was very good. And we were impressed with everything, and I decided I wanted to give the wine waiter a little tip. Well, you know, one or two of you here may remember that early 1970s, we had a different currency. Do you remember pounds, shillings and pence? You were much too young, I expect, aren't you, really? Well, I'd paid for the meal and everything and decided that I wanted to give a tip to the wine waiter. And I looked in my pocket, and those of you who are of that ilk will know, remember the size of the coins. And I looked in my pocket, and I had 5 and 2 pence, 2 half crowns and 2 pennies. Right, now, a half crown in those days was worth 12.5p, yeah, and a penny was, well, 1/30th of that. And I, 5 shillings in those days was a reasonable amount of money. I'm talking 43 years ago. And I decided that I would give the guy, the waiter on the way out, a 5 shilling tip, which was reasonable. And so having looked in my pocket and done that and sort of checked it all out, I thought that was fine. And we said thank you to everyone. And as we were going out, I just said to the waiter, thank you very much. And walked out and got home. And as you do at night, you know, you sort of empty your pockets, don't you? And you put your money down on there, and I still had the 2 half crowns in my pocket. I'd given this poor waiter a tuppenny tip. And you can appreciate, actually, even today, if you went in somewhere and you'd had a very nice meal and everything else, and you gave someone a tuppenny tip. None of you here was that waiter, I presume, were you? It was a hotel, a restaurant, I mean, in Charlwood. I said it wasn't a million miles away from here. But it's good to be here. It's good to see some familiar faces. Good to see some, I was going to say strange faces. I don't mean it like that, but some new faces. And it's good. Sorry? Strange was right the first time, was it? Thank you, Val. And some old faces as well. It's quite interesting because I really didn't know what I was going to speak on when I first sort of thought about coming, and Dave sort of only said to me about it 2 or 3 weeks ago, something like that. But I would appreciate your prayers. I hope not for this, but well, I hope you've already been praying for me for this. But a week today, I'm going to be sitting, I guess, in the departure lounge at Heathrow Airport waiting to get on a flight to go to Sierra Leone. I'm chairman of the Sierra Leone Mission, and we've got 31 churches in Sierra Leone, and we've got 18 schools out there. I've got to go out there for just under a fortnight. I've got a 4-day conference out there. I've got to host part of that. And then we're going to be going around visiting the churches and the schools in that area. And a fortnight today, I'm actually going to be preaching in a church in Sierra Leone, out in the villages, a church called the Roger Grundy Church at Dewey. I've been there before. I've never preached there before, but they've got a very lively fellowship, or when I was there 5 years ago, a very lively fellowship. So it's going to be a privilege to be able to go and bring God's words to there. But I've got a very privileged ministry, being chairman of the mission. I'm also president of a group of churches as well. So I say a fortnight's time I'm in Sierra Leone preaching. A fortnight after that I'm in Worcester preaching. And so I do travel around the country. But it's great just to come here. You know, we've had to drive 3 or 4 miles, you know, to come here. We live in Pound Hill. I think that you said that I was at Copthorne Chapel. Well, I retired on the 31st of December. And now I realise what people say, that when you retire, you've got less spare time than you had when you were at work. Somebody did ask me if I would speak on prayer. And it's one of those things that's been sort of nagging away at me a bit. So I decided that I wanted to look at prayer in a way. And then Phil and Val said to me, I think it was this morning, that actually that's something you're looking at here over this period of time. So maybe the Lord's sort of speaking to me, through me. I pray that he is. Public prayer, as we're doing today, as we've done this morning in our time of worship, is great, isn't it? But if you look at prayer, where do you start? I suppose there's one guy who's pretty good on it. His name was... He knows, you see, his name was Jesus, doesn't it? And actually, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is asked by his disciples to teach them to pray. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 1, it just says this. Luke chapter 11, it just says this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say,
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me, I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you, I'm praying. Our Father, who art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, Our Father, who art in heaven. Well, here I am. What do you want?
Well, I didn't mean anything by it. I was, you know, just saying my prayers for the day. I always say the Lord's Prayer. It makes me feel good, kind of fulfilling a duty, all right?
Go on.
Okay. Hallowed be thy name.
Hang on. What do you mean by that?
By what?
By hallowed be thy name.
It means... Well, good grief, I don't know what it means. How in the world should I know? It's just part of the prayer. By the way, what does it mean?
It means honoured, holy, wonderful.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Never thought about what hallowed meant before. Thanks. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Sure, why not?
What are you doing about it?
Doing? Why, nothing. I guess I just think it'd be kind of neat if you got control of everything down here like you have up there. We're in kind of a mess down here, don't you know?
Oh, yes, I know. But have I got control of you?
Well, I go to church, me and I.
That isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper? You've really got a problem there, you know. And then there's the way you spend your money, all on yourself. And what about the kind of books you read?
Oh, hold on a minute. Stop picking on me. I'm just as good as some of the rest of the people at my church, you know.
Excuse me, I thought we were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it will have to start with the ones who are praying for it, like you, for example.
Oh, all right, I guess I do have some hang-ups. Now that you mention it, I could probably name some others.
So could I.
I haven't thought about it very much until now, but I really would like to cut out some of the things. I would like to, you know, be really free.
Good, now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together, you and me. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, if you don't mind, I need to finish up here. This is taking a lot longer than usual. Give us this day our daily bread.
Oh, you need to cut out the bread. You're overweight as it is.
Here, hang on a minute. What is this? I was doing my religious duties and all of a sudden you break in and start getting all personal.
Praying is a dangerous thing. You might get what you asked for. Remember, you called me and here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep praying. We'll go on.
I'm scared too.
Scared of what?
I know what you'll say.
Try me.
Okay. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
What about Anne?
See, I knew it. I knew you'd bring her up. Why, Lord, she told lies about me. Spread stories. She never paid back the money she owes me. I've sworn to get even with her.
But your prayer, what about your prayer?
I didn't mean it.
Well, at least you're honest. But it's quite a load carrying around all that bitterness and resentment, isn't it?
Yes, but I'll feel better as soon as I've got even with her. Boy, have I got some plans for her. She'll wish she'd never been born.
No, you won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. You know how unhappy you are. Well, I can change that.
You can? How?
Forgive Anne, and I'll forgive you. And the hate and the sin will be Anne's problem, not yours. And you will have settled the problem as far as you are concerned.
Oh, you know you're right. You always are. And more than I want revenge, I want to be right with you. All right. All right. I forgive her.
There now, wonderful. How do you feel?
Oh, not too bad. Well, not bad at all, in fact. I feel pretty great. You know, I don't think I'll go to bed uptight tonight. I haven't been getting much rest, you know.
Yeah, I know, but you're not always through with your... you're not through with your prayer, are you? Go on.
All right. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, good. I'll do that. Just don't put yourself in a place where you can be tempted.
Now, what do you mean by that?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, go ahead. Finish your prayer.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, do you... What would bring me glory? What would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to know. I want to please you now. I've really made a mess of things. I want to truly follow you. I can see now how great that would be. So tell me, how do I make you happy?
You just did.
It's great, really, just to sort of hear the Lord's Prayer, way people pray, but actually to be aware that God is listening to us. You know, so all those prayers that we heard this morning that were offered up during that time of worship, God was up there responding to every single one of those, but not only the ones here. He was even responding to those in my old church at Copthorne Chapel, at Crawley Baptist Church, in the Anglican Church over there, and all the other people who are crying out to God 24/7, wherever it is on this world of ours. But he actually can respond to us in a very personal way. I mean, I found that sketch that Phil and Val just did about a week ago. Someone emailed it to me, and I just thought, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Isn't prayer, isn't being a Christian about having a personal relationship with Christ? That's what it is, isn't it? And I noticed, actually, I'm fairly observant on these things, that when I came here at 10 o'clock this morning, a lot of you were sitting around and you were talking to each other. Yeah? You didn't just sit here quietly. You were talking to each other. You had a relationship with each other. And actually, it wasn't only one person doing the talking. It's a two-way conversation, isn't it? And when we have a relationship with Jesus, it's got to be a two-way conversation. Too often, some people will turn around and say the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, etc., etc. I say it many times of a week. The jobs that I tend to do, as some of you are aware, is take a funeral service. And if I take a funeral service, I always say the Lord's Prayer. Whether people want me to say it or not, I always say it because there are so many thousands, millions of people out there who it's the only way they know how to pray. And I just want to actually give them something that they can hold on to and maybe something that they can relate to in a funeral service. Many people haven't got a clue about Jesus. Many people haven't got a clue about God. Many people haven't got a clue that actually to be a Christian is about having a personal relationship. Go to church on a Sunday. Isn't that what Val said as she was talking in that little sketch? You know, God says to her, when she'd said, "Our Father who art in heaven," he said, "Yeah, what do you want?" People haven't even got a clue that God is saying that when we pray to him. And that's why I've been richly blessed here this morning. I've really loved it. Our Father who art in heaven, who is he? I just listed some down. We're talking about God the Almighty, the Holy One, the Creator, the Healer, the Comforter, the Redeemer, the Prince of Peace, the Saviour of mankind, the First, the Last, the Living One. He's my friend. I pray that he's your friend also. And when we recognise that he is all of those and more. Actually, I shouldn't be standing there. You shouldn't be sitting there. We should be actually face down on the floor in front of a holy God. Because that's how we need to come when we come to a time of worship. Yet in all that, Jesus came to this earth as a servant. And we can call him friend. Do you know what we're called to be as Christians? I love the King James version of this because we're called to be peculiar people. Are you a peculiar person? I know that, Val. Sorry. No. We are peculiar people. But what does peculiar mean?
Set apart.
It means being different, doesn't it? It means that people who are not Christians look at us and turn around and say, "What on earth are they on? I want some of it." I can't remember. I heard a male voice praying and thanking God for Debbie and the fact that because of her witness, he had become a changed man. I presumed it was, but it might not have been. I didn't know that, you see. But actually, I just thank God for people who are true witnesses that actually are peculiar in such a way that attract other people to them. Because that's what we're called to be. Although we're called to be peculiar people, we're not called to be peculiar daft. We're called to be peculiar holy. We're called to be people who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who know him as our own personal saviour and who know that when we leave this earth, and we've talked about somebody who died, you know, where are they going? Where are they going? Amen. I quite often at a funeral service, I will read a poem. Because a lot of the people who I take funerals for aren't necessarily Christians. I don't know what their relationship is with the Lord Jesus. And let me just read this poem. Because it is taught, and I always say that this is from the person who died to the rest of the people who are left. So if you've actually heard me say it and it brings back memories, I'm not going to apologise because I believe it's true. It just says this: "Miss me, but let me go. When I come to the end of the road and the sun has set for me, I want no tears in a gloom-filled room. Why cry for a soul set free? Miss me a little, but not too long, and not with your head bowed low. Remember the love that we once shared. Miss me, but let me go. For this is a journey we all must take and all must go alone. It's all part of the Master's plan, a step on the road to home. So when you're lonely and sick of heart, go to the friends we know and bury your sorrows in doing good works. Miss me, but let me go." And I then go on to turn around and say that, you know, I don't know where this person is who's died. But what I do believe is that death is not the end. Might be a final part of this body of mine when I die, but actually there's more to me than this body. You know, I've got a soul, and we've all got a soul, and that means we go on a journey, and that journey, the Bible talks about a destination of a place called heaven. But I love the destination that Jesus talks about. Do you remember on the cross, And the thief turns around and says, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And what does Jesus turn around and say? He says, today you will be with me in... Yeah. That's where I want to be. And do you know, my prayer is that when I get up there, I don't want to be able to look down there and see people from down there looking up to me and say, Gordon, you never told me about Jesus. I don't want any of you leaving here today without knowing that there is a Saviour and a Lord and a King who's precious. He's not just for Sunday. You know, I've seen two people having a chat with each other, even during the service. You know, just a little comment to a side, yeah? I'm not going to ask you what you were saying to each other. You know, maybe some of you was, oh, did I put the oven on? But actually, as we've got that for... Sorry, you've got salad today, have we? That's right, we're eating with Phil and Val. Well, I think we are, anyway. We were. Are we still? Yes. Oh. And we got some biscuits from back in Everton. But in all seriousness, you see, that as we are here, we can talk with each other, we can praise God, but we can also talk with each other. Actually, when we leave this place, which is the biggest part of the week... Any idea how many hours there are in the week? 168, just to let you know. And you most probably spend a couple on a Sunday in worship like this. That only leaves 166 hours when you're most probably just chatting to each other. But I just want to let you know that you can actually talk to Jesus all those times as well. It's not just about coming here on Sunday and talking to him. It's about talking to him 24/7. You know, some people think that when you pray, you've got to close your eyes, put your hands together. I tell you what, that's enough difficult when you're driving at 70 miles an hour down a motorway. I can remember one guy I was chatting. I was on a mission in Hampshire, I think it was, and we knocked on a door and we chatted to this guy about Jesus and about faith and everything else. And he was hedging his bets, but we knew that we were talking to him. His wife wasn't in because she was at a family funeral and he'd had to stay home and look after the children. And after we'd been speaking to him on the doorstep for about 40 minutes, I said to him, well, just before we go, I'd like to pray for you. And he said, oh, he said, I'd rather you didn't do that. He said, because we're in a close area. And he said, I can see that the curtains are twitching. I said, look, if you think I'm going to get down on my knees and put my hands together and close my eyes when I'm praying for her, I said, you've got another thing coming. So he said, what do you mean? I said, I'm just going to look at you. And I just said, Heavenly Father, I just pray for this chap. Lord, you know everything about him. And I just pray that you would touch him in a very special way that he could open his heart to you. Amen. And he said, you better come in and have a cup of tea. And he gave his life to the Lord. You know, we have to be bold enough to turn around and do away with some of the church situations when we get outside. Oh, I forget where I've got to in my notes now. What time have we got to finish? 2 o'clock. Oh, that's right, yeah. That's great. I love having notes, you know, and then I can never remember where I've got to. How often do we take time out with Jesus? Is it just 2 hours on Sunday? I know it's not that, because I've seen in your book, your sheet here, all the things that you do there. You know, later today, 2 o'clock, escape youth drop-in at the youth hall. You all go to that, I presume?
No, only
you. You're all youth, aren't you? Yeah, you're all children of God. You know, there's lots of times. I just pray that you spend time with God. And as we pray to God, I pray that we can actually listen to him, because a relationship is a two-way conversation. It's not only about us praying and praying and praying. It's about us cocking an ear and listening, isn't it? You know, my daughter-in-law the other day said to us that her and her daughter, our granddaughter, were going to have some, what did they call it? I think I had to write it down tonight. No, it was just time out. It was a pajama day. And they were going to sit there and watch television. But they were just going to do it. The, you know, granddaughter and daughter-in-law, they were just going to sit down and chat together. And I know our son, you know, with our grandson, they go out, they play golf together. They have, you know, quality time together. I try and do it with my sons whenever I can. Sadly, I wasn't the dad that, you know, spent the quality time with my boys when they were younger. I was always out doing something. And that can be a very dangerous thing. You know, whether you're in Christian ministry or whether you're doing other things, we can always make time for other people, but don't always do it with our family. It's important that we do it. But it's also important that we spend quality time with Jesus, with God. And that is not only talking and talking and talking, because most of you can talk, actually listening to what God is saying is vitally important. It's a little bit like knowing passages of scripture, and I can't remember the lady who read our passage for us, but I doubt very much whether there is much of that passage that if I asked her to read it now without the words up on there that she could actually do it. Yeah? No. And there are sometimes there are little passages of scripture that we actually know in our heart, isn't it? We all know Matthew chapter 6, don't we? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Yes, all right. So you know that, don't you? Do any of you know which is the shortest chapter in the Bible?
Yes, Jesus wept.
Oh, sorry. Very quick. What's the shortest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 117 is correct. Yeah. Which is the longest chapter in the Bible? 119. Yeah, that's good. How many chapters are there in the Bible? 1,188. Right, I've never counted them, that's what I'm told. There's 1,188. So if you want a bit of homework to do this afternoon, you could always go through your Bibles and check out that I'm right or not. What's the central verse of the Bible? No. Right in the middle. What's the centre and central verse in the Bible? Psalm 118, verse 8. It's 1188. How many chapters in the Bible? 1188. What's the centre verse? 1188. You've got a Bible. Would you like to read it for us, Dave? The central verse in the Bible. Listen to this.
118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man.
Isn't that the central verse of the Bible? It's not only in the centre, it's actually what the Bible is all about. It's better to trust in God than in man. Don't trust me. You know, thanks, Val. I'm a human being, as the BFG said. And we all make mistakes, don't we? Trust in God. What did Jesus say when he taught his disciples to pray? When you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father. That's spending quality time with Jesus. Spending quality time with God. God wants you to spend quality time with him. And don't go in there without this. You know what it is, don't you? God's word. That's how God speaks to us. That's how God challenges us. And we all know what God's telephone number is, don't we?
Yes. Jeremiah 33:3.
That's correct. Jeremiah 33:3. Why? What does it say? Call to me and I will answer you, NIV. And of course then it does go on to say, call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. But actually, if we never turn to God's word, we're never going to know that, are we? If we just come to church on a Sunday, it's not always the right time. It's actually about when we take it and open it and read it and just say, Lord, speak to me today. It can be a very dangerous thing, you know, just opening the Bible up and putting your finger down and saying, you know, what are you saying to me today? Because there's always that old story, isn't there? The guy who opened it up and said, Lord, speak to me today. And he pointed to the finger and there, and it's a little story that you most probably know of one of Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot. And it says, and Judas went and hung himself. And the guy thought, well, that's not a very encouraging word for me, is it? So he closed the Bible up, opened it again, and said, Lord, speak to me. And he put his finger down there. And Jesus said, go do likewise. So it can be a very dangerous book, the Bible. Praying can be very dangerous. Ask for God's will in your life. And Val found out what that was like in that little sketch, wasn't it? But actually, maybe God's pointing the finger at you in a slightly different way. Because God wants you. Doesn't want part of you, he wants you totally. Submitted. Being a Christian is about having a personal relationship with Jesus. And unless we mean it, then we're going to find that God will intervene anyway. In Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, he says this, pray continually. Pray continually. Continually, 24/7. Call and I will answer you, he said, wasn't it, in Jeremiah 33. I just pray that we can pray continually. When in Paul's letter, Paul's letters, in the New Testament, you see someone who knew what it was like to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It says, night and day we pray most earnestly. It's one of the phrases that Paul continues to use over and over again. It's a two-way conversation. But what we do need to be aware of is that we are speaking with a God, to use Val's words, hallowed be your name. But did you hear what Phil said? Or God said, I should say, that hallowed meant? Honoured, holy, wonderful, awesome, caring. He loves you. I pray that if you've actually never thought about it before, and give some serious thought into a wonderful God who wants to be with you 24/7. Someone who you can have a relationship. Someone who you can talk to all the time, whether you're driving the car, whether you're in the queue at Tesco's. I don't doubt that the vast majority of you have got something called a mobile phone. Yeah? I don't possess one, actually. It's wonderful having that freedom. But I did notice one other thing that on your little notice just before the service said there, it said, would you please turn them all off? I had to say to my wife, will you turn yours off? Because she does have one. When I was in my old church, the only phone that I ever knew that went off in a service was hers. But actually that meant, you know, once you turn it back on again, anyone can get hold of you 24/7, can't they, until you turn it off again. Actually, Jesus, God, never turns their phone off. You always have access to him. Whether it's an arrow prayer, help me, or whether it is really, Lord, heal, Lord, touch, Lord, bless, Lord, give that person your peace. I say, I've been blessed coming here this morning because I've seen so many people who just have a heart of wanting to be able to talk to Jesus. But you don't have to just do it here. You can do it at home. You can do it down the street. You can do it when you're shopping. You can do it wherever you like. You can do it in bed. You can even do it when you're sitting in the toilet. God doesn't mind. He just wants you to speak to him. Do you know one of the biggest causes of marriage breakdown is when people stop talking to each other? And actually the biggest causes of people drifting away from God, drifting away from Jesus, is when they stop talking to him and allowing him to talk to them. So I pray for you as a fellowship here. I've been blessed. And I pray that you will continue to talk to him, that you will continue to allow him to talk to you. And that relationship will grow and your fellowship will grow. I do pray for the Alpha course that you have. I've seen many blessings in Alpha courses that we've had at my old church at Copthorne Chapel. And I just pray, I just long to see people come to know the Lord Jesus and to have that freedom that comes from knowing a God whose peace passes anything that we can imagine. Let me just pray for you. Father, I just thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But Lord, I pray for this fellowship. I pray for the work that they do in reaching out to other people. We pray for the Alpha course. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that each person that's here today and for those who are not with us for whatever reason can have that freedom and knowledge to know that they can communicate with you by speaking and by listening. Lord, that you'd bless them. Encourage them now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.